We are grateful His grace reaches us. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to highlight the men's retreat coming up. Saturday is the 11th of November. It's a day-only retreat, no overnight, no accommodations, so no direct cost to be involved. We will have lunch and supper out at a restaurant, so you do need to bring some means to supply that. But other than that, it will be free. It'll be at Bodega Bay. We have a room reserved there, an opportunity to fellowship, and Keith Parker will be our guest presenter for that. Now, I have not met Keith yet, but I've heard so many wonderful things about him, and many of you know him. You've heard him preach before. So I know you're looking forward to hearing Keith in our gospel meeting following that, the 12th through the 15th of November. But this morning, I wanted to talk about our men's retreat. So guys, sign up on the bulletin board and reserve your slot. I imagine that they need a count for some purposes. I'm not sure what. Maybe it's coffee and donuts and stuff like that. But go ahead and put your name out there that you're going. It starts at 9 in the morning and it'll last basically through the day. We'll be back after supper hour and enjoy that time together. This morning's lesson is actually part two of what I began last week when we discussed care groups. Last week we talked about the importance of building relationships, of doing life together. That's how we titled the sermon. This morning I'm going to give you more of the nuts and bolts of how care groups work and an explanation if you're not familiar with that. And then before the lesson is over, you'll have an opportunity to sign up to participate in care groups. And it is my hope and prayer that you will very seriously consider that. If you have not done it in the past, it's a new adventure. I want to tell you about the adventure so you'll be more comfortable going on the adventure with us. I've been in care groups or similar groups, not only here, but in two other congregations I've served as a minister. By the way, here's the rule of thumb. Do not put a preacher in charge of a care group. You know why? All he knows to do is preach. And care groups are not another sermon. So our elders have carefully chosen six very mature, talented men to serve as care group leaders. And they're going to be facilitators, not preachers. I guarantee you that. Care groups are not just hearing another sermon, hearing another Bible class. It's different than that. I'm going to explain that in just a few moments. I suspect that the care group model is closer to what Acts chapter 2 experienced, the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 became Christians. And the Bible says they met daily in the temple and from house to house. They ate their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. That going house to house, these home meetings, these small group meetings, have a tremendous power for good in building relationships and encouraging us in our personal faith walk in Christ. So I look forward to participating in the care groups here under this revised format. So, what is a care group? A care group is a life support group for Christians. That's about as simple as I can say it. It's a group that helps us through the bumps and bruises in life. Life is not always easy, right? Sometimes you feel like you're on a roller coaster and it's thrilling, and other times you're on a roller coaster and you just want to hang on for dear life. Care groups, through the relationship building and through the Word, help us, empower us through the ups and downs, the bumps and bruises, the joys and sorrows of life. That's what it's about. Care groups are also the front line of pastoral ministry in a congregation. Here's what I mean. In your care group, you will share prayer requests that you will not be sharing with the body as a whole. And that's fine. Because sometimes we don't feel like, well, I don't want to bring this before everybody, or this doesn't need to be heard by everybody. So I bring it to my care group. And these dozen people, 15 people, will pray with me and for me. And they'll be praying about this. And they'll be involved in my life. But the whole church doesn't need to know about this particular issue. So the care groups are the front lines of pastoral support in the congregation. You'll be praying for each other. You'll be encouraging each other. You'll be helping each other through the rough spots of the track of life. I've already mentioned a care group is a small group that works best with 12 to 15 adults. 20 is an absolute max. Now, I know we had some care groups before that were huge. Some of them were like 40 people, and they were like a mini church service. We're not going to do that anymore. We see the value of having care groups small enough that they can meet in homes, small enough that you can everyone participate. You see, the larger the group gets, the fewer people speak. How many people are talking right now? Probably just me, right? Okay, if we're in a classroom setting, it might be a couple of us in conversation. But you get a group of a dozen people, there's going to be a lot of networking. There's going to be a lot of going on in conversation. And that's what it's about. A care group is a place where you share their prayer request, as I've mentioned. It's a place to deepen your relationship with a small group of Christians. And through care groups, you'll get to know these Christians in a much deeper, better way than you do just hanging around the church building on Sunday. As valuable as this fellowship is, yet it's deepened in a smaller group setting. It's also best for the care group roster to change yearly. Groups that become more than 1 to 2 years old tend to be kind of stagnant. They become emotionally isolating to new people. New people have a hard time coming in. They're called closed groups, if you want to know the technical term. It's not that they put out a sign and say, nobody else is welcome here, but they just kind of do, you know, the that kind of thing. You understand what I'm talking about. That's why care groups need to change every year or two, is so we don't develop these patterns of familiarity and keep new people from finding a way in. It also gives us an opportunity to get to know so many more people by having care groups change in about a year. So plan on your care group to last roughly 1 year. CARE could be an acronym for Christians Are Relationally Edified. You may be able to think of a better one. Some of you will spend the rest of their sermon time thinking of a better one than C-A-R-E, Christians Are Relationally Edified. But if you can take that and use it, that'll be a start. So what's different about our care groups now than in the past? When you go to a wedding, there's this old saying, for a wedding you need something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Have you heard that one? All right. Well, care groups, we're going to get something old. We're going to bring the best from our old groups. We've talked about this. Leaders have talked already about in their training about what's best about the old groups that we want to carry over. So we want something old, but we also want something new. We want some new ways of relating, some new ways of building people. And we're going to borrow from some other congregations things that work well there that are fully scriptural that we can do here. Now, the blue part doesn't have an exact reference. It could mean we're going to have some laments. And it's okay if you have a lament occasionally in a care group. That's the fun part. And that's just for fun. It's not really an acronym for the blues, so I threw that in anyway. So our new care groups will be small enough to meet in homes and have more personal interaction. And again, that size of 12 to 15 adults. The care group leader is not a preacher and not a lecturer. He is a facilitator, and there's a world of difference. Because care groups are about life support from a Christian worldview, about ministering to each other through relationships. And while some care groups will have snacks or a meal together, that'll be an individual choice of the care group, yet it's going to be different than having a mini church potluck. The focus is not on the food. The focus is on the fellowship. You may have some food, and that's fine. And sometimes a little food kind of helps the fellowship, but the food is not the center point. And we plan to start this fall with 6 care groups. More will be added as needed. In a few moments, the clipboards will be passed around. Not yet, but in a few minutes, they'll be passed around. You'll have an opportunity to sign up. So be thinking about signing up for your care group. The elders will be assigning people according to geography and spiritual maturity and issues of that nature for a balanced groups. They'll sign up to participate in the program, and just know they're not going to put you in outer Siberia. So it'll be okay. And it'll be a good opportunity to do that. Well, what happens in a typical care group meeting? Now, remember, they're not cast in stone, so typical means typical, not every. Usually there's a welcome and an icebreaker of some sort, kind of get the juices flowing, get people used to relating to each other. And then there's something I call the meeting core. Now, that meeting core may vary from 1 week to the next, 1 month to the next, what meeting to the next. It can be a Bible discussion with application. It could be a discussion of a recent sermon, but no roast preacher is allowed at that potluck, just in case you were wondering. You could do what I call pits and peaks. The high point and low point of your recent week or last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, that you want to share, high point or low point with the group, how that impacted you. You can have a gospel singing. Did you know you can sing with only 12 people? It is possible. You might be surprised how good it is, too. There can be men's and women's prayer groups. You might separate and have men in one area and women in another, and you just have small circles of prayer, half a dozen, eight or so in a group, and enjoy some prayer time together. And there can be other meeting core elements as designed, but roughly 30 minutes in a meeting core. The shortest part of the meeting is group tasks and assignments. Who's going to bring the chili next week? Or what are we doing as a group together in ministry and service? So-and-so is going to be in the hospital. Let's pass out on a list. And who's going to have a Monday night meal for the family when he comes home and a Tuesday night meal, et cetera. These are the kind of things when I mean group tasks and logistical assignments. Just brief. Another very important part of the meeting is the prayer request section and prayer. In many ways, this is the heart of what we do. It's a time we listen to each other's needs. It is a time that we pray for each other. And the exact format of that prayer may vary according to the leader's discretion. And then often a food and fellowship time comes afterwards of about 30 minutes. The food is optional. It'll be determined by the group. And after you've shared your prayer requests, the conversation about those prayer requests takes place over that time of food and fellowship. Well, you told us about your Aunt Susie back in Colorado. Tell me a little bit more what her needs are and how I can pray more specifically for her. That's kind of the discussion that can come up over food and fellowship at the end of the meeting. And sometimes you'll find in that conversation someone sharing something that you feel like, I really ought to get together with them and minister to them this week. And you say, how about coffee this week? Or whatever you do to get together, lunch, coffee, whatever, just so you can minister to someone on a one-on-one basis. Now, there are a couple of care group rules we need to go over. The first is we agree that what is said here stays here. We respect privacy. Occasionally, something may be shared that should not be shouted from the rooftops, and you will have the adult discretion to know that. And number two, we agree to only confess our own weaknesses and sins and not the sins of other people. In other words, in your care group meeting, do not say, well, we need to pray for Brother McGillicuddy because he's having an affair. That's not what you do. That's not what you do. You only talk about your own weaknesses. You don't talk about someone else's in that setting. I think you got my drift on that one. Now let's talk about some logistics. One group led by Sten McDaniel will be specifically for families with LTC, Leadership Training for Christ participants. So those of you that are involved in the LTC program, when you sign up by your name, put LTC, and you will be put in Sten's group because that group is going to be a task-oriented group focused on helping the LTC program and our children progress in that. The other five groups are general intergenerational groups. The frequency of group meetings will also be determined by the group. The minimum will be monthly. And again, the group makes those decisions. Certain groups may choose to meet more often. It has been found that those that choose to meet at least twice a month have a better handle on developing that close community that you're looking for within the group. Each care group determines its own food plan. Again, food is optional. Some groups will have a small separate program for children. If there are several children in a group, they may have a pull-out program and the kids meet over here and one adult kind of supervises and the adults have their program separately. That's totally up to the groups. The whole point is a lot is under the leadership of the care group leaders, and that's why they're undergoing two afternoons of training, one last Sunday and then one this Sunday afternoon. So now it's time for the sign-up. Evan, would you go get our clipboards for us? We have four clipboards, and we're going to pass one on this side in the back forward and one on that side, the back forward. And then on the front seats, you get another clipboard, and they can go toward the back. So we're going to meet in the middle today. That'll give us time to have opportunity to sign up. All we ask is your family name and phone number, email, contact. And if you're an LTC family, put that beside your name, so that will be very clear as well. That's how we're going to do it. This week, our elders will put together the groups based on need, geography, spiritual maturity, things of that nature. And your care group leader will be in touch with you within a couple of weeks and to tell you about where the first meeting will be and how we proceed. Now, why should you get involved? Man had a dream one time, and he woke up in hell. And he was surprised to find a rich banquet table in hell. I thought this would be a horrible place. And here's all this lavish food. He loaded his plate and he looked for a table. And all the tables for hell, by the way, are tables for one. And there was one. But there was no silverware on the table. Only a pair of chopsticks. And the only problem with those chopsticks is they were 4 feet long. And he couldn't feed himself. And that's when he looked around and noticed how others there were emaciated. Even there was a banquet of food. But nobody was feeding each other. And after a while, the man drifted off to sleep again. And he dreamed of heaven. And here too, there was a rich banquet table spread with delectable food. And he loaded a plate and looked for a place to seat. But there were no seats available for one. Every place had seats for two, three, or four or more. He sat down and greeted the person across from him. And again, no silverware in heaven. How disappointing. But there were chopsticks. And it was the same 4 foot long chopsticks. And that's when it hit this man. The only difference between heaven and hell was the people in hell were starving and the people in heaven were well fed because the people in heaven were feeding each other. I know that's a little fanciful. I realize I've extended a metaphor, but the point is this. In our care groups, we're going to learn how to feed each other. Not just has the best cornbread recipe, that's fine, but we're going to talk about feeding each other emotionally and spiritually and socially as well as physically. Because care groups is about giving us energy for life, helping us deal with the rough spots of life, and doing life together. And that's what it's about. And that's why I want you to get involved. Because you will be feeding each other through the care group ministry. I want to refresh just briefly with these passages of Scripture we looked at in more detail last week. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Or 1 Corinthians 12 that Stephen read this morning. The body is a unit, and though it's made of many parts, though its parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. Or the passage I alluded to in Acts chapter 2, where the early church met not only in the temple, but from house to house. Or Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, where we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. We identify with pain and with joy in each other's lives and care groups. We also carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. And John chapter 13, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. So our care groups help us fulfill these and many other scriptures. It's been said, by people we are broken, and by people we're put back together again. And I don't know about you, but there are times I feel broken. I'm hurt or I'm disappointed. I'm disoriented, I'm overwhelmed, I'm fearful. And people help me put me back together again. We're all a little bit like Humpty Dumpty sitting on that wall. And we have those great falls in life, and we're put back together by people. The church is a little bit like this stool over here. I know you were wondering what it's about. When I was in high school, I had a chemistry class, and we got to sit on things like this. And, of course, we guys really liked to do this. We'd sit on the stools, then we'd lean back on them. And our teacher quickly said, no, four on the floor. You've got to have all four legs on the floor. And I understood. You didn't want any skulls cracking open in chemistry class. And I got to thinking here. Being in the Lord's body is a little like having this stool, because if the stool legs are not all four here, it's kind of awkward. You know, if I only had a one-legged stool, I'm not going to sit very well at all. Two legs, a little better, but I'm still going to be in awfully bad territory. Even three legs, if this one's cut off, it's, you know, I can fall off pretty easily. You need all four. We need to worship. We need to learn God's Word in class settings and things of that nature, private devotionals as well. We also need times of fellowship. We need times to be building people up and being built up by people. Amen? So we need all of those, but we also need to serve that fourth leg of the stool. And care groups help us be built up by others, but it also helps us serve others. And it helps us complete, if you will, the stability of the Christian life. And that's why I encourage you so much, don't limit yourself to coming to church only at Sunday morning for worship. I'm glad you're here. But we want to give you a more solid foundation for Christian living than a one-legged stool. We want you to have four on the floor. We want all four to be strong and you to be strong in Jesus. How are those clipboards coming? Have they made their way to the middle? Evan, would you take a check, see where our clipboards are? And they're still working their way, okay. Well, keep them coming toward the middle, all right? Front to back, back to front, all that kind of thing. I'd like you to hear from our shepherds about the care groups. I don't want you to think this is all Mark's thing. It's not. I'm very supportive of it. But our shepherds have driven this, and they see the need for this. So, John, please come share with us a word.
Thank you, Mark. So, a lot of you have asked. Some of you have been involved. I'm sure everyone has wondered kind of like what that stool is doing there. But what have we been doing for the last year? We had a survey about a year ago, if you recall, and that survey identified that our interpersonal relationships was the weakest link within this congregation. We actually were pretty strong on almost every other point. But this was a really weak spot. And as elders, we're like, we thought we were doing pretty good. So there's your first revelation. But when you get the survey and you realize work needs to be done, we had a survey health team, and they just basically met and looked at what the survey said and said, here's how we think you as elders should put together a plan for better care groups. And so they met very diligently, and they kind of had to hash out the nuts and bolts. I'm sure there was times in that meeting everybody was all smiles. But I'm sure there was times that means like, you're wrong, we need to do it this way. So they kind of had to hash that stuff out. And we definitely appreciate the survey health team for doing that. And revamping our care groups has been a priority. It's just, it takes time. And as Mark said, the care groups will run for a while, but we may not have the perfect solution yet. And so we need feedback on that from our care group leaders and from the people involved in the care groups also. But one thing that was very obvious, the care groups need to be small. They need to be small enough to meet in a home, not that it's mandatory that they meet in a home, but small enough that they could. And so many of our care groups just weren't doing that, and it wasn't getting that closest that Mark was talking about. So we wanted a care group that would have a small enough that they would have a chance to deepen their relationships. And, you know, some people are just really open about their pits and peaks. Some people are not. We're not asking every care group to be, just all lovey-dovey and just, you know, everything's great. But as Christians, it's our duty to serve, and let's start with each other. Amen. So we definitely appreciate the care group leaders that have stepped forward and said, I'm willing to give this a shot. I'm willing to facilitate. But it's going to take everyone's participation. And, of course, we would be pleased if every single member were to sign up. And we understand that not everyone is familiar. Not everyone necessarily is comfortable in that situation. We do understand that, but we would still appreciate that you, as a member, please just be very conscientious about it, and we'd encourage you to sign up for that. So we appreciate the care group leaders. We appreciate their wives. We appreciate the survey health team for giving us a plan of action to do that. And thank you for Mark for giving us a good idea of what to expect within a care group. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate that. Where are our clipboards now? Are there any still active? Still active. Okay. Well, you're going to open your songbooks for me then, would you please? Number 842. 842. We want to give time for everyone to sign up so the care groups can meet in the middle. Let's sing together. A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word. Turn over a couple of pages, number 847. We'll sing this only one time, 847. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body. That is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Please continue your passing of the clipboards. In a few moments, we will sing the invitation song. Jesus himself said this invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," or burdened is what we would say today, "and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And my question for you this morning is, have you found your spiritual rest in Jesus? Have you taken the burden of sin that you carry and guilt and allow Jesus to carry it for you, because he died on the cross for that sin and for that guilt? Have you been buried with him by baptism, where you receive the forgiveness of that sin on the basis of your personal faith and repentance? Have you begun that journey? Have you walked out in faith and said, "Lord, take my hand. I want to be yours, and I'm going to submit my life to you"? I understand submitting your life to Christ, although it begins in baptism, doesn't end there. Because that commitment to submit our hearts to Christ continues day by day through the choices we make and the decisions we make, where we continually submit our hearts to Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you need to answer the Lord's call, if you're not in Christ, you can become a Christian. You can be baptized into the Lord. If you need the prayers of this body because you've been quit submitting yourself to Christ and have gone back into the ways of the world, we want you to come back to Jesus, because salvation is found in no other name other than his. Let's begin together. Let's sing.